Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man, lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven."
Amen.
In the Old Testament book of Joshua,
Moses had died, and now this young man Joshua's job is to continue to lead God's people. And God said in Joshua chapter 1, God himself showed up to encourage this new leader. Anyone has ever taken on a leadership role or expects to become a leader, you need some courage. Amen. When you're leading people, anywhere there are people, there are going to be problems. And when there are problems, sometimes it involves people. Joshua chapter 1 verse 6, God says, "Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them, to give them." Verse 7 says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." If you want good success, do it God's way. Always involve God. And verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed." This is the third time he said that. "For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God encouraged man. Secondly, and you also see that God encouraged man when the Apostle Paul boarded this ship in the book of Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his missionary journeys, he was on his way to a Roman prison. He was on his way to a Roman prison after he had preached the gospel. And in verse number 1 of Acts chapter 27, very interesting passages here. Turn with me, if you will. Acts chapter 27, beginning verse number 1 says, "And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they decided, Paul and some of the other prisoners, to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian vessel, Michael, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when he had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. Then the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy and put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived in difficulty in Sindus, the winds not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete or Salome. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lestia. And verse number 9 says, Now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised him, saying in verse 10, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, and not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, the harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there." Verse 13 says, "When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euryclea. So when the ship was caught, and they could not head into the wind, we let her drive, and running under the shelter of the island of Florida, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on Cyprus, saying they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, no small tempest beat on us. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. You know, life is like that. Life is like that. You can start off sailing, smooth sailing, and life shows up, and you can go from bad to better to worse. And so verse number 21 says, but after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said this. This is the encouragement. Men, you shall have listened to me and not sail from Crete and incur this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Now he started off saying it's not going to end well at the beginning of the chapter, but now he says, I've got good news for you. For there stood by me, verse 23, this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be born before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Now when the 14th night had come, and when they had driven up and down the Adriatic Sea, that after midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took soundings and found it about 20 fathoms, where they had gone a little further. They took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. Man, you know, it's always a good time to pray. And as the sailors, verse 13, were seeking to escape the ship, but they had let down the skiffs into the sea on the pretense of putting up anchors from the prow. Now, what was happening? Folks started wanting to abandon the ship. You know, when the going gets tough, we either dig in our heels or folks will start abandoning the ship. The folk that you start out with in life are not always the folk you end up with. And so, Paul, verse number 31, said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. In other words, you've got to stay. Your salvation is in this ship. And even in the church, even when we find ourselves in difficult situations, perhaps you're going through something right now, don't abandon ship. Because your salvation is only here in the church. And so, church, the Bible says in verse 32, then sailors cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall. They were trying to lighten the ship. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. We were talking about that they were fasting. 14 days. Amen. You know, when you're in trouble, it's time to get close with God. Therefore, verse number 34, I urge you to take nourishment again, for this is your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, when they had been broken and began to eat. And look at verse 36. I love what the Bible says here. Then when they were all encouraged, and all took food themselves, and all who were 266 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and drew out the wheat into the sea. You know, God will show up in the most unlikely place sometimes, even in the midst of your struggle and crisis, God will show up. Now, God's not going to show up in a dream, amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so the faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. And so, church, we need some encouragement. Notice some further words of encouragement in God's word. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And verse number 10 of the same chapter says, be still and know that I am God. Even when you're discouraged, sometimes the best thing to do is nothing. Amen. Sometimes the best thing to do when you're discouraged is to do nothing. Be still and know that I am God. That's counterintuitive. But you gotta wait for God to answer. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And about verse number 31, the Apostle Paul, you know the verses, Romans 8. Above verse number 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, that how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. What is justification? Justification is a legal term. God looks at us just as if I had not sinned. And that's what we see. Even though I sin, even though I mess up, when he sees the blood, he looks at us as if we had not sinned. It is he who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Verse 34, it is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, and even when we're discouraged, even when we're in trouble, yet in all these things, Paul says, we are more than conquerors through Christ, or through him who loved us. That, you know that Nike symbol? The Nike symbol. What Nick? Nike? Amen. It means, listen, God is more than. God is more than. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. I mentioned on Wednesday, you know, there. Do you realize, do you understand, do you accept that there is nothing you can do to stop God from loving you? Did you know that? That's good news. So even when I mess up, God can fix whatever situation I find myself in. Nothing, no one, and no thing can separate us from the love of Christ. And he says, listen, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Second point we need to know is we should encourage one another. Based on all those things, we should encourage one another. Our scripture text in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, talks about this man who was paralyzed. Man was paralyzed, his friends bore him on his bed. And look at verse number 2, says, when he saw their faith, whose faith? The four men. It was at least four of them that brought this man in, one on each corner of their bed. When he saw their faith, not necessarily the man's faith, but his friend's faith, because see, they say every once in a while, you got to encourage yourself, but sometimes we need one another to encourage one another. When we look around and we see folk are feeling a little, they look a little bit down. What's going on, sis? What's going on, brother? I'm praying for you. It's going to be all right. Amen. When he saw their faith, he said, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Jesus didn't ask him anything. Because Jesus, you know that song says, there's not a friend like the Lord Jesus. Jesus knows all about our trouble. Huh? He knows more than you know. And so, church, Jesus encourages them. Listen, to the fearful in Matthew 14, 27, he says, do not be afraid. And we already read earlier, quoted John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. Why did Jesus say this? Because sometimes our heart gets troubled. He knew we needed some encouragement. To the woman caught into adultery, you remember the verses in John chapter 8? John chapter 8, He said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She looked around, no one was there. And Jesus said to her, he said, "Listen, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You know, everybody likes a second chance. I mess up on my exam, I mess up on the job. I mean, they call Gary, I need to talk to you. Did you speak to Mrs. George last week? Mrs. George asked you to transfer 100 pounds and you transferred 1,000 pounds. And you put, oh my goodness. Well, that's all right. He said it was all right. He said, it's no problem. But next time, be careful. So, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And every time, every once in a while, we need a second chance. God is to be served. God is a second chance. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, you know the verse, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and here's the good news, "and all these things shall be added unto you." You do your God, you do your part, and God will do his part. Amen. So God says, if I put him first, that he's going to take care of all of my needs, not necessarily my wants, because sometimes my wants, amen, are greater than what I really need. Amen. You might want this, but God said, no, you need to be more disciplined. Amen. And so, church, Jesus said, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Mama might have disappointed you, friends might have let you down, the paycheck didn't come on time, but Jesus said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." Amen. Because listen, I'm going to let you down, you're going to let me down, but God in heaven will never let us down. You know why? Because God is not on your time team. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. I thank God that God is God and not me. Because if he left it up to me, it would have been messed up a long time ago. You would have said, "But Gary, wasn't your turn to raise the son?" Oh, man, I overslept. Huh? God don't leave that to me. Because we're not reliable, we're not consistent, but God is. "I will never leave you, nor forsake you." So listen, everything might be going on, it might be going wrong in my life, but at least I know, listen, if I'm still alive, the sun will still come up and will still set without any of my effort. Amen. And so we need to be encouraged. God is still there. And then you remember, in Matthew 28:20, after the Great Commission, he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." You know what that means? Do you know what that means? I remember reading this a long time ago. Write this down. 1 + God is always a majority. God said, "I'm always going to be with you. Everywhere you go, you are the majority. On your job, you are there with Jesus, so you are the majority. I am with you always." Well, nobody knows but Jesus. Jesus, listen, I want you to come in this job with me today. I had to pray that prayer years ago. "Lord, before I step into my job, Lord, I want you to come with me because these people are going to get on my last nerve. And if you don't go with me, I'm not going in there." Because we need something. And so, church, he said, "Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth." And so because of these truths, we should encourage one another. 2 Corinthians 1. You remember last month, we had the funeral for Brother Mac and Sister Marshall. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." It says, "Who comforts us, when in all our tribulation." And anybody going through something right now? Amen. And it says, "Who comforts us in all our tribulation." Well, how and what? "That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble." So God comforts us so that we can comfort others. I remember this sister, I'm not going to call her name, but she's in here. She said, everything you go through is not just for you. What do you mean by that? Listen, just because you're going through something, folk are watching you to see how you're going to handle that thing, and it can be an encouragement to say, well, you know what? They were going through trouble, but look how you kept coming to work, you kept smiling, you kept praying, you kept worshiping God, and so now, you can comfort that other person because they say, if you can do it and God did it for you, He can do it for me too. Man, so the lesson may not have been for you. It might have been for somebody else. It might have been for your husband, your neighbor, your sister, your cousin, even your enemy, church. He comforts us with the comfort that we may comfort those who are in trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Isn't that something, church? That's a wonderful transaction. So listen, even though I'm mourning, and listen, I saw this in real life. Here was Sister Marsha. We had a little fellowship after the service, and she's going around and she's encouraging folk and said, look at this. Look at this. She's not falling apart. How are you doing? Thank you for coming. Is there anything I can get her? And there was a gentleman there, and he was having a hard time, and she was feeling there. It's going to be all right. But it's all right. He would want you to be strong. Amen. So she was a living example of these persons. That was an encouragement, church. Listen, life may fall apart, but you don't have to fall apart. Someone said a Bible that's falling apart should show a Christian who is not falling apart. You know what? Because that person is using that Bible. And some of us got Bibles on here looking all pristine. Maybe because we're not reading them. Amen, wolves. And so we need to listen, encourage and comfort so that God comforts us so we can comfort others as well. Romans 15 and 1 says, we then who are strong or to bear the scruples or infirmities of the weak. Every once in a while, you might be weak in one area and I might be strong in another and vice versa. We have a responsibility to help each other. Amen. Because when I'm up today, I might be down tomorrow. You might be down today, I might be up tomorrow. That's quite, listen, God created us for community. Just like the human body, to support one another, to encourage one another. Listen, he says, that we then who are strong or to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. You know, I looked at, if we have many hymns, encouraging hymns. That song, that the hymn that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand on. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. You remember that great hymn, leaning on the everlasting arms? What a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine, bam, and I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Lord, encourages, church. And you know what? The interesting thing, Colossians 3:16 says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. So when we sing, that's what we're doing. We're encouraging one another. Amen. So that's why the words of the hymns have to have a meaning. They have to be grounded in Scripture. Because it reminds us of God's hope, God's promises, and God's blessings, church. So when we come, I know I can't sing. Amen. But I'm not singing for you, necessarily. I'm singing because I love Jesus, and I want to remind you of how good He is. God is good even when you're not good. Amen. And He's always good. And so, church, we need one another. As much as the body parts need each other, both publicly and privately, let's encourage one another. And let's remember the words of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. The Hebrew writer says, and let us consider one another. You know what that word, that phrase, consider one another? It means to look up and consider. What does that mean? My brother is missing, my sister is missing. Let us consider one another. And he says this as well. In order to stir up love and good works, just like you have some lemonade, some fresh squeezed lemonade, huh? You squeeze that nice lemonade, and you see all those bits of pulp at the bottom, huh? And you say, man, I want some of that lemonade, and you stir it up. What for? To introduce all that pulp back into the rest. So we need to stir up one another to love and good works. And he says, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Let's not look at that from a negative standpoint, but as a positive, because we need each other. We miss you, brother. We miss you, sister. To consider one another, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so once the more as you see the day approaching. You know we're living in the last days? Do you know that today you are one day closer to death than you were yesterday? Amen. And if you live tomorrow, you are one day closer to death. Amen. Don't wait until something bad happens to you. Try to encourage someone. Listen, Robert George, I appreciate you. Because you're always there. You bring your family, you know, you keep on keeping on, brother. Thank you so much for the work that you do for this congregation. We need, don't wait until the person's gone. I should have said something. I should have done something. Shoulda, coulda, what too late. Let us consider one another. Amen. Let's not tear down each other. Let's build up each other. Encouragement. Church, that's what we need today more than ever before. A phone call, a note, a card, whatever it is. Sometimes a smile. Sometimes saying nothing. Amen. That's an encouragement. I just want to listen. What's going on with you, sis? And just listen. Thank you for sharing that with me. I'm going to keep that in prayer. And so today, I want you to know that salvation, your soul salvation, is at stake even today. If you are not a Christian, you can become a Christian by doing five simple things. You've heard God's word, Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you from your sins, John 3, 16. You must repent of your sins, Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 9. I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Number four, you must confess Jesus as Lord. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Number five, you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. It's not a sprinkling, it's not a pouring. That's Acts 2:38, Mark 16, 15 and 16, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and many other passages of Scripture. And for those of us who are Christians, you know, for some of us, we only see each other once a week. And I'm a real person. You're a real person. I can guarantee that some of us, if not all of us, are going through something, some challenge right now, today, that we need some encouragement. When you feel that way, encourage somebody else too. So when you encourage somebody, you encourage yourself as well. And so, if you need prayer, we have a responsibility to pray one for another. I don't know what to pray for unless you tell me. And vice versa. If you need prayer, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. There is power in prayer, and it's praying in tongues. If you need prayer this morning, or you just want to give God thanks for his graciousness, his grace, his mercy, and his love, as we stand together and sing the song of the Lord. Amen.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing his word. It sounds like music here. like